Welcome to the deep dive. So today, we want you to just picture sitting back in your old high school math class.
Oh, yeah, the classic chalkboard and everything.
Right, exactly. You are
Yeah.
staring at the chalkboard, you're watching the teacher write out an equation, and there is this implicit, almost invisible assumption we all just make in that room.
That math is just, a description.
Yeah. We treat it as this passive language that we use to map out the universe. Like, you plug in the numbers, you draw the lines, and the geometric shapes just exist in this pristine, abstract vacuum.
Right, because we are taught that equations are just static entities. I mean, they're framed as these eternal truths that simply sit there on the page, completely untouched by the messy physical reality of the world around us.
But what if that is, well, entirely backwards? What if the abstract math equations you learn in school aren't just passive descriptions of the universe, but actual physical landscapes?
Landscapes with like actual tension.
Yeah, landscapes with steep cliffs and deep valleys where tiny particles have to actively fight using literal forces and gravity just to hold the very concept of a simple triangle together.
It completely flips the script, honestly, on everything we assume about reality.
Yeah.
I mean, you are no longer looking at geometry as a given guaranteed structure. You are forced to look at it as an active thermodynamic struggle for existence.
And that struggle is exactly what we are exploring in today's deep dive. So our mission relies on an incredibly dense, genuinely mind-bending text exchange from our sources titled integeruniverse.txt.
It is a wild read.
It really is. It proposes this radical physics of mathematics framework. So we're going to uncover how so-called integer particles actually solve underlying mathematical tensions in the fabric of reality.
And we're going to trace a bizarre, totally unexpected connection between Fermat's last theorem and the laws of thermodynamics.
Yes. And finally, we will explore how rewriting the universe with nothing but whole numbers could make the fundamental laws of physics 100% verifiable. Okay, let's unpack this, because we really need to start by figuring out what happens when math literally freezes over.
Right. So to understand why particles would ever need to, solve a mathematical tension, we first have to understand the environment those particles are operating in. The text anchors this entire framework on one of the most famous equations in history.
Which one?
It's the classic x to the power of n plus y to the power of n equals z to the power of n.
Okay, which at its base level, when that power of n is just a 2, is the Pythagorean theorem. A squared plus b squared equals c squared.
Exactly. And the source describes that specific baseline, where n equals 2, as a fluid or active state. At that level, the math allows for an infinite number of exact integer solutions.
Like the Pythagorean triples.
Right, the classic 3-4-5 triangle. You can plug whole numbers into the equation, and it
Yeah.
balances perfectly on both sides. The geometry is flawless. I mean, it is deterministic. It requires zero tolerance to work.
So the corners of the triangle, the vertices, they are just dimensionless, infinitely small points in space.
Spot on. They're perfect.
So when I picture this, I should be visualizing something like completely frictionless, a state where the numbers just naturally flow into the shapes they're supposed to make without any resistance at all.
Yeah, and the framework introduces a really brilliant metric here. It asks us to treat that power, that n, as a measure of temperature.
Wait, temperature.
Yeah, so as n increases, the temperature of the mathematical system drops. The system begins to lose its fluidity.
Oh, I see. So we move from n equals 2, our perfectly fluid state, to n equals 3.
And the universe suddenly hits a frozen state.
Yeah.
This is where Fermat's last theorem, or FLT, activates.
Right, the famous theorem.
Right. Fermat proved that for any power greater than 2, there are absolutely no non-trivial integer solutions. The straight lines of integer arithmetic just completely fracture.
Wow.
If you try to build a cube from two smaller cubes, so x cubed plus y cubed equals z cubed, it is mathematically impossible to do it using only perfectly whole exact numbers.
The source actually notes that for the n equals 4 case, Fermat himself proved this impossibility using a technique called infinite descent, which, hold on, infinite descent. That sounds like the title of a sci-fi movie.
It really does.
What exactly is Fermat descending into?
Well, it is a method of proof by contradiction. Fermat essentially said, okay, let's assume there is a perfect whole number solution to x to the fourth plus y to the fourth equals z to the fourth.
Okay.
If that solution exists, the rules of math dictate that we can manipulate it to find an even smaller whole number solution. And from that one, an even smaller one.
Oh, so you descend infinitely.
Exactly. But because we are dealing with strictly positive whole numbers, you can't descend infinitely. You eventually hit zero, or you crash into fractions, which, breaks the rules of integers entirely.
So the descent proves that a starting solution could never have existed in the first place.
Right.
Okay, I am really starting to grasp the severity of this. If I try to map this back to something physical, it is like I'm trying to build a shape out of perfectly molded Lego bricks.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. So at n equals 2, I take a piece of length 3, a piece of length 4, and a piece of length 5, and they just snap together on the table. The system flows. But at n equals 3 or n equals 4, the temperature has dropped.
The bricks freeze.
Yes, the bricks have warped. I try to snap them together to form a closed shape, and there is this rigid, undeniable gap. They simply refuse to click.
What's fascinating here is that in this framework, Fermat's last theorem is not just a math puzzle meant for chalkboards. I mean, it functions as a literal phase boundary in the architecture of the universe.
A phase boundary?
Yeah. The universe reaches n equals 3, realizes that its perfect integer scaffolding is completely collapsed, and faces a crisis. To survive, to maintain any sort of complex geometric structure, it must abandon classical exactness.
It has to cheat.
Basically.
Yeah.
It is forced to switch to a completely new ontology.
And that desperate transition, the need for the universe to somehow hold its geometry together when the perfect numbers fail, that leads us directly to the core mechanism of this text, the idea of particle mathematics.
Right. The universe has to introduce a buffer to deal with the broken math. And that buffer comes in the form of what the source calls red circles.
I want to make sure I'm visualizing this correctly. The source talks about red circles, but are we talking about literal red spheres floating in space at the corners of these shapes?
No. They represent probability tolerance or
fuzziness. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about that right angle triangle again. In the fluid n equals 2 state, the corners are infinitely sharp, dimensionless points. But when the integers can no longer perfectly close the gap at n equals 3, those points have to expand.
Oh, so the vertices acquire actual physical size.
Exactly. In a classical integer sense, the equation x cubed plus y cubed equals z cubed is forbidden. So the universe introduces these expanded particles to create a permissive state.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Wait, so instead of demanding geometric perfection, the universe just uses a thicker marker.
A thicker marker?
Yeah, it uses these expanding red circles to draw the corners of the triangle so that the lines technically overlap within the ink. Like, it basically fakes a mathematical solution.
That is exactly it. It creates a structural compromise. And it is absolutely crucial to understand that this isn't just a convenient trick, right? It is a fundamental physical requirement for existence.
Because without it, nothing could exist.
Right. The universe prioritizes structural existence over absolute mathematical precision. I mean, it would rather manifest a fuzzy, approximate triangle than permit no triangle at all.
That is wild.
But faking a solution like this, expanding that tolerance, it comes with a massive thermodynamic cost.
Because higher powers of n demand more heat to keep the math from completely shattering.
You got it. Remember that higher powers create much steeper mathematical gaps. The mathematical function x to the fourth grows incredibly fast compared to x squared. The gap between the numbers becomes enormous.
Right.
So to force a connection at n equals 4, the probability particles must expand their tolerance significantly. They have to get much larger and much fuzzier to bridge that widening gap. And in physics, increasing fuzziness, expanding that entropy, requires energy.
It is demanding literal temperature to counteract the frozen math.
Yes. As n increases, the classical integer exactness is entirely sacrificed, and the underlying structure must become a high-energy, fuzzy quantum object just to stay connected.
The source material actually uses a really beautiful term for this. It calls the right-sided triangle at n equals 4 the snowflake seed.
I love that term. Because in classical math, at n equals 4, that structure cannot exist. Yet through particle mathematics, it survives as a fractal object built entirely out of near misses and non-solutions.
It's kept alive only by the probabilistic heat of those red circles. The universe is melting the frozen mathematical laws just enough to let existence happen.
Exactly.
Okay, I follow the thermodynamic cost, but I'm still stuck on a major contradiction here.
What's that?
Well, if these red circles are essentially faking the math by overlapping their fuzziness, what stops the inherent tension of the broken equation from just ripping the near-miss triangle apart? I mean, if the underlying math inherently wants to snap apart because it doesn't balance, how does the structure stay together in the physical world?
That tension brings us to the point where the framework moves from a static conceptual picture into a dynamic physical theory. The mathematical gap itself, the literal deviation where x to the n plus y to the n does not quite equal z to the n acts as a scalar potential field.
Hold on, let's break that down for a second. What exactly is a scalar potential field in this context? Are we talking about like a magnetic field?
Think of it as an invisible mathematical landscape of stress. In physics, a scalar field assigns a specific value to every single point in space, like mapping the temperature of a room where every coordinate has a degree attached to it.
Okay, that makes sense.
In this framework, the value assigned to space is mathematical tension. Because perfect closure is forbidden by Fermat's last theorem, this field creates a literal, repulsive mathematical force.
So the math is actively rejecting the structure?
Yes. It is trying to push the vertices apart.
So the math equation generates a force of rejection, but the particles fight back.
They do. The red circles, those probability particles, aren't passive objects. They carry what the text calls interaction charge, which is essentially probability mass.
Yeah.
And that mass generates a binding force to counteract the mathematical tension.
Okay.
It generates gravity.
Gravity. Wait, but clearly not gravity in the Einsteinian sense of planets bending physical space-time, right?
Right. No. This is a universal coupling situated entirely in the solution space. The mathematical tension is actively pushing the vertices apart, trying to enforce the broken equation. But the gravitational mass of the fuzzy particles pulls them back together toward optimal near solutions.
Let me try to wrap an analogy around this. So the equation itself is like a tightly stretched, vibrating rubber band that is constantly trying to snap apart because the tension is too high.
I like where this is going.
And gravity. Gravity acts like the hands firmly gripping that rubber band, constantly adjusting, pulling inward to hold it together in a stable shape over time.
Yes. You hit on the most crucial element in that analogy, which is time. Time and acceleration are the evolutionary mechanisms here. The particles actually feel the mathematical tension of the broken equation as a physical force.
Oh, wow.
So they accelerate through the landscape of possible configurations. Time allows these competing forces, the repulsive math and the attractive gravity, to relax into a dynamic equilibrium.
So they are constantly migrating through all the ways the math almost works until they find the most stable possible configuration to settle in.
Right. And this completely shifts our understanding of the universe's foundational state.
Yeah.
At n equals 2, the universe has static arithmetic certainty. It's perfect, crisp, but ultimately dead. Nothing needs to move because nothing is in tension.
But at n equals 3?
At n equals 3 and beyond, it enters a state of dynamic coherence. Complex physical structures survive not because the underlying math is perfectly balanced, but because the physical dynamics, the gravity, the acceleration, the passage of time, they refuse to let it break.
The universe becomes a living, breathing, balancing act.
Yeah, Beck.
Which raises a massive question. We have spent this deep dive building this incredible, elaborate framework. We have Fermat's last theorem acting as a deep freeze. We have red circles providing probability tolerance. And we have gravity holding broken equations together in solution space.
It's a lot.
It is. But why? Why is the universe trying so desperately hard to use integer equations in the first place if they break so easily and require so much energy to maintain?
Oh, it comes down to the single most profound concept presented in this entire text. Integers equal absolute verification.
Absolute verification.
Yes, they represent a state of zero uncertainty.
Let's really dig into that because this strikes at the heart of how standard physics currently operates. Standard physics relies almost entirely on continuous real numbers. We use pi, we use irrational square roots, we build theories on smooth, infinitely divisible, continuous manifolds.
Right, and the fatal flaw of continuous numbers is that they contain infinite information. A continuous number cannot be verified exactly.
Because it goes on forever.
Exactly. You cannot calculate pi to the last digit because there is no last digit. It is physically impossible to check every infinitely small point on a continuous probability wave.
Right.
But if you have an integer relationship, like 3 squared plus 4 squared equals 5 squared, you can verify that statement with 100% certainty. There is no measurement error.
There's no hidden floating point approximation waiting billions of decimal places down the line.
Exactly. It is an absolute, finite truth.
I think I see the disconnect. Standard physics is like trying to measure the universe with a stretchy, infinitely divisible tape measure. No matter how close you zoom in, the lines keep splitting and you never get a crisp, final reading.
You're always approximating.
Right. You are always guessing at the microscopic level. This integer theory suggests the universe doesn't do that. The universe is actually just counting literal, indivisible apples. It forces absolute certainty back into quantum mechanics by removing the infinities.
It does. And the source provides a stunning example of how this applies by completely rewriting one of the most famous models in physics, the Schrödinger equation.
Right. The standard Schrödinger equation describes continuous probability waves. It is the math that gives us all the inherent fuzzy uncertainty of quantum mechanics, where particles exist in multiple states at once.
Yeah, but the text presents an integer Schrödinger equation. Instead of a continuous complex wave moving through a smooth infinite space, this integer version uses exact integer counts.
Exact counts.
Yes, it assigns two distinct integer fields at every localized site, an A count and a B count, on a discrete pixelated grid.
Well, I mean, I am struggling to see how simple counting can replace complex wave mechanics. What about wave interference?
What do you mean?
You know, the classic quantum double slit experiment where waves meet and either amplify or cancel each other out. Standard physics usually requires complex numbers and the mystical collapse of a wave function to explain that. How do you do that with just whole numbers?
Well, in the integer framework, wave interference is stripped of its mysticism entirely. It becomes literal, exact integer addition and subtraction. When two streams of these counts meet, the system applies a 90-degree rotation matrix.
A matrix, like some complex algorithm.
No, it is incredibly simple. Think of it as a traffic cop made of zeros and ones. It just redistributes the arriving integers. If the incoming counts align perfectly, the integer count at that location goes up. If the streams oppose each other, the traffic cop subtracts them, and the counts cancel out to zero.
Wow. So there is no continuous wave of infinite possibilities suddenly collapsing into a single point.
Nope. It is just integer counts shifting to a new equilibrium on a grid. Because it relies only on addition, subtraction, and whole numbers, every single prediction in the universe becomes 100% verifiable by finite computation.
That is incredible.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it completely resolves the problem of quantum uncertainty. The fuzziness, the inherent randomness we supposedly observe in the quantum universe, isn't actually randomness at all.
It's not.
No. It is just the minimum integer resolution required to keep the system coherent when a strict classical equation fails.
So what does this all mean?
Well, when the universe hits n equals 3, it cannot find an exact integer closure. So it expands its tolerance, it takes larger integer steps, it generates bigger red circles to bridge the gap. The quantum fuzziness that confuses physicists today is just the coarse-grained counting mechanism the universe uses to prevent its geometry from shattering.
That really reframes everything we thought we knew about reality. We started this deep dive looking at Fermat's last theorem, not as an abstract math puzzle, but as a literal physical phase boundary.
Yeah, we watched as perfect fluid math melted into a desperate thermodynamic struggle, where equations act as landscapes and mathematical gaps create actual forces of tension.
We uncovered how probability particles and gravitational binding in solution space are required to hold so-called impossible geometry together. The dynamic forces of the universe, time, acceleration, gravity, they exist primarily to cover up the cracks in the math.
And finally, we realized that this entire elaborate high-energy system, the gravity, the passage of time, the quantum fuzziness itself, is all designed for one single purpose.
To create a 100% checkable integer-based reality, to banish uncheckable infinity and operate strictly on absolute certainty.
Exactly. It fundamentally transforms quantum mechanics from a theory of inherent, unavoidable randomness into a theory of exact counting, forced to operate under extreme structural constraints.
So the next time you look at a solid object sitting on your desk, or even just draw a simple right triangle on a piece of paper, take a second to realize what is happening underneath.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, beneath that smooth, seemingly quiet surface, an intense, never-ending battle of particle mathematics and gravitational binding is working overtime. It is a dynamic physical struggle just to keep those geometric shapes from snapping apart under the sheer, repulsive tension of the math.
It really paints a picture of a universe that absolutely refuses to break, even when its own underlying numbers say it should.
Which leaves us with one final, lingering question to ponder long after this deep dive ends. If the deepest, most fundamental layer of our universe truly operates strictly on exact integer counts to eliminate all continuous uncertainty, does that mean our reality isn't a smooth, flowing continuum of space and time at all? Is the universe actually a hyper-fast, frame-by-frame computational engine, desperately counting out its next move, integer by integer, just to keep the simulation from freezing?